I mentioned last week that today's class will be about Shavuos, the significance of Shavuos. An idea about Shavuos to connect us to the holiday, to the Yom Tov, and to be able to make it more meaningful to us. And, you know, I always say every year that this is called the proverbial forgotten holiday. It's known as a forgotten holiday. Most people don't really know. I mean, I say most people in the unaffiliated Jewish world, a lot of people just don't know the significance of what Shavuos is. They don't even know if it's a holiday or at all. I mean, every other Yom Tov, Pesach, and Chanukah, and Sukkot, they all have mitzvahs associated with it, things which we do. We sit in the Sukkah, the Seder, the Chanukah menorah, and every mitzvah, every Yom Tov has a lot of things to do. So Shavuos, it's very interesting. Shavuos has no special biblical obligation to it. There's nothing about Shavuos which makes, in the Torah, there's nothing in the Torah about Shavuos which makes it unique. It's a Yom Tov, it's described as a Yom Tov, but there's no mitzvah deraisa, there is no biblical commandment, there's no rituals we do on Shavuos which stand it out from the other Yom Tovim, or even for that, really more, to stand it out from Shabbos, really. It's very, very much resembles Shabbos. The customs of Shavuos, of, for example, staying up all night to learn, you know, milchiks, cheesecake, and those kind of things. They're purely customs. These are customs which be interesting to kind of to trace the origins of where these customs came, when they first began. But in terms of the Torah's obligation, the Torah's mitzvahs, there are no mitzvahs on Shavuos. So when you experience Shavuos, it's really like experiencing Shabbos in the middle of the week. Right? It's a two-day Shabbos in the middle of the week. So this is why, I mean, this explains why it's called a forgotten holiday. To most people, it's a forgotten, when I say it's forgotten, they don't know what it really means. Right? The answer is, Shavuos is the day which commemorates the receiving of the Torah at Har Sinai. And in that, it's, if anything, it's the most important Yom Tov of the entire year. This is the Yom Tov which is the origin of everything. Now, I'm not going to say that. I shouldn't say that. It's the most important Yom Tov. You should never say it's the most important Yom Tov, because every Yom Tov is the most important Yom Tov when that Yom Tov comes, right? When that Yom Tov arrives, and when Shabbos arrives, it's the most important day of the year. So that's how we have to look at it. But in terms of the impact the Shavuos and Matan Torah, Maimed Har Sinai, had upon the entire fabric, the entire identity of Judaism, obviously very, very important. So that's something which we all understand. That's what happened on Shavuos. It commemorates the day that the Torah was given. When I say the Torah was given, we have to be clear about that as well. It's the Aseret Dibros, the Ten Commandments. And we have to be clear about that as well. Not the Ten Commandments and the tablets. Not the tablets, but the actual, the oral enunciation of the Aseret Dibros, the oral speaking of Hashem to the Jewish people of the Ten Commandments. That's what happened on Shavuos. It's interesting, we discussed this last year. We celebrate it on the 6th of Sivan. So this coming Monday is the 6th of Sivan. But what's really interesting, refer back to my class last year, that really, historically, Maimed Har Sinai took place on the 7th of Sivan. And if you look through this, listen to the class last year, or go to your notes, Simon, go to your notes, you'll see in the notes from last year, that historically, when it actually happened, Maimed Har Sinai took place on the 7th of Sivan, the day afterwards. So why we celebrate on the 6th of Sivan, the simple short answer is, originally the Torah was designed to be given on the 6th of Sivan, but Moshe added on an extra day, and Hashem agreed with that. That's what the Gemara says. And that's the punchline of that idea, but you could expand upon a lot of very interesting ideas about that. But really, the Torah is supposed to be given on the 6th of Sivan. That was the plan. But Moshe added on an extra day by himself. Hashem acquiesced to that, and then it was finally given on the 7th of Sivan. And we celebrate it on the 6th of Sivan, not when it took place. So I always say that in the outside of Israel, the second day of Yom Tov, the second day of Shavuos, is more historically accurate and coincides with the actual giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. So this coming Monday, historically, if you trace that day all the way back to when it happened, that's not the day the Torah was given. It was the day it was supposed to be given on the 6th of Sivan. But historically, it took place on the 7th of Sivan, this coming Tuesday. So think about that for this year. But that's Yom Tov Shavuos, of the receiving of the Torah at Har Sinai. The Torah itself, though, has different names for Shavuos. There's different names the Torah gives for Shavuos. But the name which is really interesting, which is not used in the Torah, but it's used in the Mishnah, and by the rabbis is Atzeres. So the name Atzeres is used for Shavuos. Have you heard of that before? You're not included in this. Right? Right. So Atzeres is a name given in the Mishnah and in Chazal for Shavuos, Atzeres. And this sounds like you just said, sounds like Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, because Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day of Sukkot, is called Shmini Atzeres. Another time the Torah uses the word Atzeres for a Yom Tov is when? With respect to the last day of Pesach. We discussed that a month or so ago. That the last days of Pesach are also described in the Torah as Atzeres. Atzeres means, superficially, it means holding back. And the way it's used in reference to Shmini Atzeres, the last day of Sukkot, is that on the last day of Sukkot, Hashem, so to speak, held the Jewish people back one extra day. So they were celebrating for 7 days of Sukkot, and Hashem says, stay with me one extra day, Atzeres, which means hold back. And the Jewish people were held back to celebrate one extra Yom Tov on the eighth day, Shmini Atzeres, to be held back with Hashem. That's Shmini Atzeres. And then that's what the word means, Atzeres. So then also similarly, one could say maybe with the last day of Pesach as well, being held back to Hashem in the final miracle of crossing the Kriyas Yam Suf is the last day. But Atzeres means hold back, right? Being held back. So it's unusual when I say the word Atzeres as it applies to Shavuos. Most people don't know that. So when we talk about the forgotten holiday, the forgotten holiday for many is just the fact that Shavuos is a forgotten holiday. But even among those who know, the name Atzeres is also a forgotten name. It's the forgotten name, right? But what is the meaning, though? How do we really apply this to Shavuos? Exactly what is the reason why we apply the name Atzeres to Shavuos? Again, it's not in the Torah, but it's in the Mishnah. The Mishnah applies the name Atzeres to Shavuos. So the Ramban says, Nachmanides writes, that in a certain sense, the Yom Tov of Shavuos, what the last days of Pesach is to Chol HaMoed, and the first days of Pesach, Shavuos is to the days of Sefiras HaOmer and Pesach. In other words, on Pesach we have the first days of Pesach, followed by Chol HaMoed, and then followed by the last days of Pesach, Atzeres, which is described as Atzeres in the Torah. So you have Atzeres on one end, and you have first days on one end, you have the Chol HaMoed in the middle. So that's the whole picture of the Yom Tov. So the same thing applies to Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach is like the beginning of the Yom Tov. Shavuos is the end of the Yom Tov. That's the last days of the Yom Tov. And Sefiras HaOmer is in the middle. So really, Sefiras HaOmer is like Chol HaMoed in the middle. And it connects the entire Yom Tov season together from Pesach all the way up until Shavuos. Because on Pesach, we came out of Mitzrayim, but the culmination of coming out of Mitzrayim obviously is coming to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. So therefore, Shavuos is like the last days of Pesach. It's like the Atzeres of the last days of Pesach. So it's called Atzeres based upon we're being held back one extra day or one extra Yom Tov to stay on track, to stay with Hashem in this journey out of Mitzrayim. We've come out of Mitzrayim, and the culmination of it all, after Chol HaMoed, after the days of Sefira, the culmination of Shavuos is Shavuos, and it's called Atzeres in that respect. That's what the Ramban says. The Yoruch HaShulchan, another more contemporary commentary from the 1800s, he says as follows, right? The word Atzeres is related to a pasuk in, here we go, Shmuel Aleph, right? Quick advertisement for our Wednesday night Navi class. We discussed this a few weeks ago in Shmuel Aleph, the first book of Shmuel, chapter 21, verse 6, also quoted in Maseches Kedushin. Ki isha atzura lanu. Ki isha atzura lanu. So this is relating to when David HaMelech encountered Achimelech. We don't have to know who Achimelech is, but David came to Achimelech, and the pasuk says when he came to him with his men, He said to him, Ki isha tzura lanu. Ki isha, which is what he was referring to, we've not been in any kind of contact with any woman. We were not impure through any union with any woman. We are pure. Essentially, the verse, Ki isha tzura lanu, atzura, same word, atzura, atzeres, in this context means pure. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that the word atzura, because it has a connotation of purity as well, so too, the Jewish people at Har Sinai were pure, because it's a well-known discussion in the Gemara that the days before the Maimed Har Sinai, they had to be separated. The husbands and wives could not be in union with each other in the days before Shavuos. The Machlokas was with 2 days or 3 days, but this was an essential ingredient in the preparation towards Har Sinai, towards Maimed Har Sinai, that there should be a purity between a husband and wife. They can't have any contact with each other. There's no relations in those days before the Maimed Har Sinai. One opinion says 2 days, the other says 3 days, but this was a necessary ingredient to get ready for Har Sinai. And the Aruch HaShulchan said, he says that maybe that's the reason why the rabbis call Shavuos Atzeres, because the word Atzeres reminds us of the idea of purity. And since the Jewish people were pure as they approached Har Sinai, not being in contact with each other, so therefore the Yom Tov is called Atzeres based upon that. So technically it makes sense, right? Technically it makes sense. But as you can imagine, there's much more to it, right? That's what I'm reading from this sefer over here, Yeruch LeMoadim, to explain this. So he wants to understand, right? He wants to understand what's the deeper message of this, because this seems just like a more of a technical thing, a technical reason that because they were pure, because husbands and wives were not together the days before Shavuos, and therefore, and the word Atzura is used because we see that with respect to David and Melech, so then, you know, the word Atzeres has application here as well. But it seems more missing of deeper appreciation. So here's how it goes, right? Here's how it goes. So the Gemara, right, we learned this on Monday, there's another famous Gemara. Famous Gemara says that when the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, they stood betachtes sahar. They stood at the base of the mountain. But literally, the verse doesn't say the base of the mountain, but they stood underneath the mountain. And if you want to hear more about this, go back to my recording from 2 years ago. I spoke about it then as well, right? Tachtas, underneath the mountain. You have notes back for that all the way back then, Simon? You have
notes? I
do. Yeah, okay, good. So the Jewish people stood, but tachtas ahar, at the bottom of the mountain. But literally, the Pasuk says, underneath the mountain. They stood underneath the mountain. So the Gemara says that Hashem held the mountain over their heads, and he said to them, if you accept the Torah, mutav, good, but if not, that's where you're going to die. You're going to drop the mountain on your head. You're going to die right there. That'll be the end of it. So they were being threatened. They were under duress to accept the Torah. This is the famous Gemara. But the famous question on this Gemara is Nasa V'Nishma. The Jewish people said Nasa V'Nishma before, a few days before the Torah was given. They said Nasa V'Nishma, which means what? We'll do and we'll listen. These are the epic words of their acceptance before even knowing what to do. So how can the Gemara say that they were forced to keep the Torah? They accepted it willingly. So different answers are given. So Tosfos gives an answer, is that even though they said Nasa V'Nishma, they accepted it willingly, says Tosfos, though, that maybe they were going to change their mind. Maybe they would change their mind from that willing acceptance once they would see the fire over the mountain. Because they said Nasa V'Nishma a few days before the actual revelation. So Tosa says that maybe Aval Pisha Kavah Gdim Nasa V'Nishma, even though they said Nasa V'Nishma, Shema Yechuzrim, maybe they'll change their mind, Kashiyiru Ha'esha Gadol, when they'll see this great fire over the mountain, Shiyotas Nishmasim, which caused them to pass out when they saw that. So because of the fear of seeing the mountain on fire, maybe they're going to change their mind. Therefore, just in case that happens, you have to accept the Torah anyway, even if you change your mind from Nasa V'Nishma. Hashem says, you have to accept the Torah anyway. You're under coercion, under duress. You have to do it anyway. But that's what Tosa said. That's the answer, right? That's his answer. The question, though, is that if we were there, right, you know, I don't think anyone would imagine that the nature of this fire over the mountain was like a forest fire. It wasn't like it was a forest fire and everyone's running for their lives because the fire is spreading. You know, all the Jewish people are around the mountain. The mountain is far away from them. I mean, there's a very big distance between them and the mountain. The fire is over the mountain. Clearly, it's a miraculous heavenly phenomena that the fire is coming down. The fire is surrounding the mountain. That they're going to be afraid. Not a forest fire is going to spread. It's going to consume them. The fire was very localized. So, does it really make sense that they should be scared of a fire because of the danger to their lives, that they're going to run away? What exactly was that fire? What did the fire symbolize? What did the fire symbolize that made them so scared that they had to now be forced to keep the Torah anyway? So another example of fire and the importance of this fire over the mountain. The Tor, who's the precursor to the Shulchan Aruch, writes as follows. This is a very practical halacha, something to really think about. He discusses the bracha of reciting a bracha on the Torah every morning. So we make a bracha, Hashem Baruch Abonim, Mikol Ha'amim, over the Torah, over an aliyah. But we make that bracha every morning also. It's part of davening to make the bracha, Hashem Baruch Abonim, Mikol Ha'amim, Nasan Lanos Torah. He gave us his Torah. We make this bracha every single morning. So the Torah writes, When a person makes this bracha, when you're making that bracha, Hashem Baruch Abano, Yechavein Beberchoso Al Maimed Har Sinai, you should think about Maimed Har Sinai. When you're making the bracha, Hashem Baruch Abano, think about, contemplate Maimed Har Sinai, Hashem Baruch Abano Mikol HaAmim, that He chose us from all the other nations, the Kervanu Lifnei Har Sinai, He brought us close to Har Sinai, the Hishmianu Devar Mitoch HaEsh, and He spoke to us from the fire. To think about that he spoke to us from within the fire. For Nasan Lanu Estarasa Kadoshin gave to us this holy Torah, which is the base chayin, which is the foundation of our entire lives. Klei Chimdoso, it's a precious vessel, Shahi Mishtasheyaba, Bechol Yon, that a person should delight in every single day. That's the kavanah we're supposed to have when we make the Baruch Hashem Baruch Abano. So a lot of beautiful things in this, in those words over here. It's a precious vessel to delight in every single day. It's the base chayenu, it's the foundation of our entire lives. These things are understandable. That He brought us close to Har Sinai, that He took us out of Mitzrayim, all of these things. But why does He put into the words over there? And imagine also, Maimud Har Sinai, when Hashem spoke to us from the fire. Why the emphasis on the fire? There was other things, other, so to speak, natural phenomena, which happened. There was thunder, there was lightning, there was a cloud over them. It doesn't mention that. Why the fire? What's the fire? Why the fire? Why is the fire such an integral part of this? So again, two questions. Why does he mention the fire? And also, why would they be so afraid of this fire? So the Bach commentary on the Torah says as follows. The purpose, he says, Bracha zu ashnei, this bracha is eina kiyim huda v'shevach al masha nosan lan Torah. This bracha is a praise and a gratitude for the fact that Hashem gave to us His Torah. Lahoros, from the fire, Lahoros al kudushaso v'ruchniyuso, to teach us and to indicate its holiness and its spirituality. The message of the fire symbolizes spirituality. Fire symbolizes kedusha. When you look at the Shabbos neiros, when you look at the Chanukah neiros, you don't look at those neiros, you don't look at the flames and get scared of fire. You look at it and you're inspired. It wakes us up. It makes us more connected to the spirit, to the neshama, to the soul, to kedusha, to sanctity, to holiness. Fire represents holiness. That's what fire represents. And therefore, that's why the bracha, or the Torah emphasizes that when you're making this bracha on the Torah, Hashem Baruch Hu, to imagine being at Har Sinai and to imagine Hashem speaking to us from within the fire of holiness. Holiness, kedusha, sanctity. And that's why he suggests, the Yeruch Lumadim, he suggests the reason why Tosfos explains, what were they afraid of? They weren't afraid of getting burned, but by seeing this fire and understanding that the Torah is not information, the Torah is not wisdom, the Torah is not academia, the Torah is holiness, the Torah is Kaddish, the Torah is emanating from Shemayim, Torah is holy, it's spiritual, that's what Torah is. Fire, it's in fire. It's holy, it's spiritual. A person, they were afraid, maybe we're not worthy of that. Maybe we're not worthy of this lofty holiness of the Torah. I wanted to suggest that maybe also another way to look at it as well is that maybe the holiness is scary. It's scary to be holy. It's scary and frightening to have to now translate this Torah, which I'm learning, into Kedusha, into holiness in my life. Because that's the struggle. That is the struggle. That's the struggle of learning. When I say the struggle of learning, the struggle of learning, the struggle of mitzvahs, or the struggle of learning specifically, is it remains in the brain. It stays in the brain. It doesn't translate, it doesn't go down into the emotions, doesn't go down into the actions, doesn't go on down to the behavior. It doesn't transform us. That's the challenge. The challenge of Torah is it can become an intellectual exercise. Mm-hmm. When you see that the Torah is being given in fire, that's telling us that the Torah is holy. It's from the upper realms, it's from Shemayim, it's more than simply academia and wisdom and information. The Ramchal writes in his introduction to the Sefer Derech Eitz Chaim, Hodieno, he's commenting on the Gemara, where the Gemara says the Torah is compared to fire. It's compared to fire based upon the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Haloko Devarai Ke'esh Nu'um Hashem, behold, my word is like fire, says Hashem. The Ramchal says, Hodieinu bezeh, that the Gemara, Chazal, are teaching us by comparing the Torah to fire. Ki emes adov, it's true. Shatora himamish or echad nitn li Yisrael leyo bo. That the Torah is literally like light. It's luminary. It's like light, like a singular light given to the Jewish people, leyo bo, to become illuminated by. Kilo kachacham kachachmas anachrios, because the Torah is not like secular wisdom, for yediyas achol and mundane knowledge. She'enam ela yediyas dov ma, that all they are just simply information and ideas, that the person's mind can attain by its effort. The Torah is holy. Its identity comes from the upper realms. That's where it comes from. It's not academia, it's not knowledge, not information. Wisdom can be achieved, wisdom can be attained. Knowledge and ideas and insights can be attained with a lot of effort. With all of the effort you can put into your eye, into thinking, you're not going to come to Torah, because Torah is minishamayim, Torah is heavenly, Torah is kaddish. Now we can attain, we can understand it, but we have to understand that the real impact, the real absorption of the Torah is not about becoming wiser and smarter and more intelligent. We are being exposed to kedusha, to sanctity. That's what the Torah is, and that's what the fire represented. The fire represented, symbolized, Torah is Kaddish, Torah is holy. That's what the Torah is. And that's why they were scared. They were scared of the implications of that. They were scared of the implications. Maybe they weren't worthy of it. But this then goes back to why it's called Atzeres. Because Atzeres, again, we said, is purity. It's purity. So yes, they were pure. The Jewish people were pure. They were separated from their spouses in preparation for Maimed Har Sinai. But why? To become pure, to become holy, to express that reality that the purpose of my learning is, and the purpose of my experience with Torah is, to become sanctified and holy. They were ready for that. They were worthy of that. And the Yom Tov of Shavuos is named after the very, very essence and purpose of what Torah is all about. Torah is about purifying us. Torah is about sanctifying us. And the word Atzeres refers to purity and sanctification. And that's what the Torah is. That's what the Yom Tov of Shavuos is. To remind us, this is what the Torah is about. This is what it's about. We're sitting here learning. We have classes. We are learning on our own. We're learning in groups. We're learning all sorts of different ways. The question becomes, is the learning translating into some aspect of my life? Am I just learning today, but living a secular life or some kind of non-Jewish life elsewhere? That's not Torah. Torah is to change us. Torah is supposed to go into us and to change us, to transform us, to elevate the outer life of ourselves, to elevate us, every part of us. And we have to be thinking, I speak to myself, to think when I'm learning, to think, how is this impacting my life? How is it elevating my life? How is it helping me to serve Hashem better? How is it helping me to be lifted up and to be more holy? That there's a body, there's a shell, there's the outer encasement. There's my outer life, there's my outer behavior. Is the Torah coming out and sanctifying the outside as well? Now, the truth is that if you think about this, really an amazing thing about Shavuos. And I didn't realize this until this week when I was learning from this other Sefer over here, Or Gedaliyahu, that Shavuos is a throwback. And, you know, we know that every Yom Tov contains the spirituality of the day when it actually happened. Every Yom Tov, you know, when on Pesach, we are re-experiencing, we're not commemorating, we are reliving the very experience which happened when we left Mitzrayim. And every Yom Tov has that element. So Shavuos also has that element. So it means, this coming Yom Tov, we are going to be tapping into the special Kedusha, the special holiness of what happened on that day. So we're not talking about when the tablets were given, because the tablets were not given when the tablets were actually given to the Jewish people with the Ten Commandments on it. The tablets were the second tablet. They were the second tablets after the Chet HaEgel. So the actual tablets which were received by the Jewish people, the full tablets, was not until Yom Kippur, right? So this coming Shavuos, or every Shavuos, is not a commemoration of the tablets which were finally given to the Jewish people. It's a commemoration, or it's a reliving of the Madrega of the Jewish people and the experience of the Jewish people before the tablets were actually given. It's a reliving of the level of the Jewish people and the experience they had when they first heard the Ten Commandments being uttered. And when they were being made ready to receive the first tablets, Because what happened historically, they went, so they heard the Ten Commandments. Then Moshe went up to the mountain, and he was then given the first tablets. And he was given the first tablets. Hashem then wrote onto the first tablets the Ten Commandments, and he was going to come down and give those tablets to the Jewish people. And then the tragedy struck of the Chet HaEgel, and that's when everything went haywire. And they went down the tubes, right? And it was not until later on, like 80 days later, that they were given the second tablets. But we're not celebrating that. We're celebrating the first stage of the whole process. We're celebrating the time when they were on the Madrega to receive the first tablets before the Chet HaEgel. That Madrega was unprecedented. That level was an unprecedented level. They say that the Jewish people went back to the Madrega of Adam Rishon before the Chet, before the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge. This was a level of unprecedented proportions in terms of spirituality, in terms of elevation of self. And this is reflected actually in the tablets themselves, in the actual first tablets. The Pasuk says that the first tablets were the Ma'aseh Elokim, V'Michtav Michtav Elokim. The actual physical mass of the tablets were made by Hashem as well. They had holiness to them as well. The actual tablets had holiness. And the writing, of course, was from Hashem. The second tablets were made by Moshe. And it had the same wording as the first ones. But the first tablets were holy. So then the Gemara says they were charis, the Pasuk says they were charis ala luchos. Those words of the first tablets were engraved, were carved out into the luchos. They were carved out. Obviously, they were carved out. You know, that's how they were written onto the luchos. So the Gemara says, don't read the word charis as charis, carved out. Read it as charis. Read it as, you just change the vowelation. Don't pronounce it as charis, pronounce it as charis, which means freedom. Freedom. Indicating that in the same way that those words were carved onto the tablets, so also the words of Torah, if they're in you, so therefore you're going to be free, cheiros, free from the Yetzer Hara, free from the Malach HaMoves. The point is that if the words of Torah are in us, are carved into us, engraved inside of us, we will experience freedom. What does it mean they were carved inside of us? Or what does it mean to be carved inside? In the same way that the words of the Torah, the Ten Commandments, were carved, engraved into the tablets, making those tablets holy as well. Because they were created by Hashem. They were made by Hashem by the words going into them and radiating into them and elevating them to become holy too. The tablets themselves were holy. They were influenced. There was no obstruction in between the tablets and the words. The words just permeated right through, carved right through, elevating the tablets, making the tablets holier than imaginable. The same thing can happen to us as well. And the same thing, they were given to the Jewish people when they were ready for that. They were able to be able to achieve that. That they were on a madrega where they had purified themselves to a level that they were capable of being able to become so sanctified, their bodies as well. Their bodies as well, just like the words of the Torah engraved onto the tablets, elevating and sanctifying the tablets. So also the words going into our neshama or going into ourselves, elevating our bodies as well. This was the potential of the Jewish people at Mount HaSinai. Their whole essence, elevated, sanctified, body and soul together, no obstruction between body and soul. Now how the Chet HaEgel happened, different discussion, right? But at least this is the potential madrega of Shavuos. It really is. It's a startling idea to think about what's happening on Shavuos. It's a throwback. You know, I don't think we think about this. But I mean, it's, you know, every other Yom Tov is not a throwback to a time before sin, right? Yom Kippur is forgiveness. We're going into Yom Kippur having averas, doing teshuva and gaining kapara. But the Yom Tov of Shavuos is a throwback to the state of Adam HaRishon before the sin, or the state of the Jewish people before the Chet HaEgel, where there was such a fusion of body and soul together. Fusion of body and soul together. Fusion of the Torah into our lives together. That there's no obstruction, that the Torah radiates into our lives. Torah is holy. It's Kaddish. It's sanctified. It's holy. It's Eish. It's fire. It's Ruchnius. It's from Shemayim. That's what these Svarim around us, all the books, the Torah Shebal Peh, they're not books. You know, I've always been bothered by the expression Torah study. It always bothered me, the expression Torah study. There's something so shallow and so mundane about that and so far from the truth. It's not Torah study. You're not studying Torah. We are living Torah. It's living Torah. It's making the Torah part of ourselves. That we're living it. We are expressing it in our lives and our behavior. That the whole of our external life is sanctified. We've got tzitzis on our bodies. We've got yarmulkes. We've got tefillin. We've got the mitzvahs. We've got all the different mitzvahs which express the kedusha, the Torah, in our lives. That's living Torah. Torah's in our lives. It's not in the brain. You know, it's in the brain. I'm so smart. I know all these ideas. I can dance around in the Gemara. Right? It's in the brain. It's got to be in the heart and the actions and the behavior. The whole being has to be suffused with the Torah, with the light of the neshama of the Torah. That's what it's about. That's what Shavuot. That's why it's called Atzeres. Pure. We're pure. We're pure. We're Kaddish. We're pure and holy. We're infused and suffused with the light of the Torah inside of ourselves. That's our goal. That's the potential of Shavuot. That's the potential of Shavuot. So we should all be. Now I want to say I want to add one little thing at the end, because as I was coming here, I was listening to a small shir by Rabbi Elimelech Biederman, who speaks in Yiddish, but they have subtitles. But it's just great to listen to. And he has these short snippets. So Bamidbar is the parasha before Shavuos. It's always the parasha before Shavuos. There's different reasons given for this. Why it always has to be. One reason actually is given because the last parasha of Vayikra was Bechukoso, about the curses. So it's very negative. So we don't want to go into Shavuos. Tosa says this in the Gemara, that we don't want to go into Shavuos with the darkness of the curses in the last week's parasha. We want to go into something light. That's one reason. But another reason given, Rav Moshe Feinstein said this, that the Bamidbar begins by the Jewish people being counted. That's the very first few verses of the portion is about the counting of the Jewish people. And what that tells us is every single Jew matters. Every single person matters. And it's a message also for Shavuos. Shavuos is also compared to a wedding with Hashem. We are under the chuppah with Hashem. So what he's saying, what we're learning from this is that every single person matters. Every single Jew counts. And every single person is as important as the next person. The righteous people, you know, non-righteous people, Talmid HaChachamim, every single Jew is precious and beloved to Hashem. Which means that every one of us has potential. Every one of us has potential, each in our own way, to be able to rise up to these ideas which we're discussing. To bring a little bit more Kedusha into our life, to bring a little bit more. We should never write ourselves off or even say, well, you know, that's for the rabbis. That's for the kind of the learned people. That's for the very righteous people. Yeah, he's my shliach, right? You know, the tzaddik is my shliach to be able to connect to Shemayim. Rubbish! I'm my shliach to connect to Shemayim. I've got to be my own representative. I've got to be an advocate for myself. I've got to take myself, and Hashem believes in me. He believes in me. We are all counted. We can all elevate ourselves to become closer to that ideal of infusing the Torah into our lives in a way which makes the Torah Kaddish and not just academic knowledge.